Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please read with me today's sermon's title, Will This House Be Like Shiloh? Based on our reading from Jeremiah 26, listen to these verses again. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. You will say to them, thus says the Lord, I will make this house like Shiloh, and this house I will make a curse to all the nations of the earth. And all the priests and the people seized Jeremiah, saying, Jeremiah, you must die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house will be like Shiloh? Please turn in your worship folder and follow along with your sermon outline as we ask the question, will this house be like Shiloh? Take it easy. It's a common English expression. Take it easy. It can mean the same thing that good friends say when they say goodbye. Hey, take it easy, we say. Take it easy is also common advice. I hear it quite often. Common advice from a calm wife to an upset husband. Hey, take it easy. Take it easy can also be the word spoken to a father who is teaching his son to drive the family car for the first time. Hey, son, now take it easy. Shiloh was the name of an Old Testament city, a well-known place of worship. The meaning for the Hebrew Shiloh word is be at ease, or we would say, take it easy. The problem was the people of Jerusalem, the prophet Jeremiah was addressing, were at ease, and they shouldn't have been at ease. So Jeremiah compares his current city of Jerusalem to this old city of Shiloh. Thus, our sermon title, the disturbing question that the people asked Jeremiah, will this house, will our home, will this temple, will our city be like Shiloh? Why were they concerned? What was Shiloh like? Shiloh in the past was a thriving worship center. This was around 1200 BC, some 600 years before the time of Jeremiah. This was at the time of the conquest of the Promised Land under Joshua. The tabernacle, the tent on wheels, so to speak, the tent of meeting, was set up there in Shiloh to be the worship center. People came from all around to go to the tabernacle to worship. Joshua 18:1 says, Now the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there. Later, Shiloh established its own priesthood and sacrificial system and became a truly famous worship center. People would take yearly pilgrimages to go to Shiloh. In 1 Samuel 1, we read these words. There was a man named Elkanah, and this man went up from his city year after year to worship and make sacrifice to the Lord at Shiloh. For a long time, the Ark of the Covenant, that ark or that stone box in which was placed the Ten Commandments of God, they were stored at Shiloh. But later, Shiloh became a heap of ruins. Well before the time of Jeremiah in our sermon text, Shiloh was completely destroyed. Now, there's no clear biblical account of its destruction, but modern archaeology confirms that in 1050 BC, Shiloh was destroyed by the Philistines. But in 1 Samuel chapter 4, we are told of that day when the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines out of Shiloh as it was about to be destroyed. We read 1 Samuel 4, so the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and the Ark of the Covenant was captured. By the time of Jeremiah, Shiloh is no more. A destroyed place that exists only in the bad memories of the people. So when Jeremiah compares beautiful Jerusalem and the temple there to the heap of ruins, Shiloh, the people are angry. We read in our text. And all the people seized Jeremiah and said, "You must die. Why have you prophesied saying, 'This house will be like Shiloh'?" Jeremiah's message was hurtful and disturbing to God's people as he declares to them, the city of Jerusalem and the temple will soon become a heap of ruins like Shiloh. Why did Jeremiah say this? It's not because he wanted to. He had no choice in the matter. It was the message that God gave him to speak. Jeremiah 26:2 says this, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house," that is, in the temple, "and speak all the words I have commanded you to speak. Jeremiah, do not omit a single word." It was a sermon that must have broken Jeremiah's heart. It certainly was not an "I just can't wait to preach it" sermon. But the people needed to hear it. Why? Look at your sermon outline. Something was wrong with their ears. In verse 4, God tells Jeremiah to say, "You will not listen to the Lord." And there was something wrong with their feet, that is, their obedience. The text says, "You will not walk in my law." And there was something wrong with their hearts, where they put their trust. In Jeremiah 7, verse 4, Jeremiah tells the people, "You shall not trust in the deceptive words, 'The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.'" Their hearts were not trusting in God, but in a superstitious security they had about the temple of Jerusalem. "Oh, our beautiful temple," the people said to themselves, "the house of the Lord, it will stand forever because it is standing in all of its magnificence. God must be happy with us, even though we are unfaithful to Him." But it was in this very temple that Jeremiah spoke, surrounded by people who wanted to kill him for saying, "This house, this temple of Jerusalem, will soon be destroyed like Shiloh." Who was there that day? Verse 7 tells us, "And the priests and the prophets and the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words." The temple priests who made their living working at the temple. The king's palace prophets. The king's yes men, who only told him what he wanted to hear. And other worshipers who were happy and at ease were there, having a good time, having a party. And then that doggone, killjoy, party pooper Jeremiah comes and wrecks their party. But Jeremiah did not hold back. He pulled no punches. We hear some of his words in now verses 12 and following. "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city. Now therefore amend your ways and your deeds. Obey the voice of the Lord, and the Lord will change his mind about the misfortune which he has pronounced against you." Jeremiah's message was quite clear. Repent and turn back to the Lord in true faith and repentance, or this house will be destroyed like Shiloh. There still is a chance for deliverance. Will you repent and live? Or will you keep going your own way? So this house will become like Shiloh. Now, today, must I put the same question to you? Will this house be like Shiloh? We are in the season of Lent. Lent is the season for repentance. Are you taking seriously your personal sin? Are we as a people of God gathered in this place taking seriously our faithlessness, our spiritual laziness, our spiritual self-satisfaction? Are we here today at ease? Which is what the word Shiloh means. Have we lost sight of our mission in this community and country? Have we become at ease with just doing church on Sunday for an hour in the morning and then quickly forgetting the absolute claim Almighty God has on our lives Monday through Saturday? Our congregation gathers around the mission statement, to know Christ and to make Him known. How are we doing with that? As your pastor, do I have the same command that Jeremiah had? Yes, I do. I am called to speak God's truth to you. Now, whether you like me or don't like me is not the issue. Whether you like my words or don't like my words is not the issue, as long as my words are God's words, like Jeremiah. Yes, I am called to preach and to teach the sweet gospel of Jesus' love for all sinners. Yes, I am called to comfort the afflicted. But I'm also called to speak God's words of judgment and His call to repentance. I am also called to afflict the comfortable. Like Jeremiah, I am commanded by God not just to please you with sugar-coated words, but also at times to upset you with conscience-jolting words. Why? Because we all have the same problem as did the people of Israel during the time of Jeremiah. Let me ask you today, how are your ears? How are your feet? How is your heart? Your ears. Are you listening to God's call to you today to repent of your sin and pay attention to the Word of God? Or are you dozing off, literally, during the sermon, or even figuratively, as your mind is filled with many things besides God's Word? How are your feet? After hearing God's Word on Sunday, are you walking in obedience to the Lord during the week, or are you walking in your own way of selfish and spiritual laziness and pride and rebellion? How's your heart? Are you crying out, "This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord," as people did in Jeremiah's time? That is, are you claiming, "I just gotta put in my 1 hour a week in this building, and I'm guaranteed God's favor. After my duty of 1 hour a week, then I can by golly live any way that I want to live. It's my life to do as I please." And speaking of this temple of the Lord, Our building is beautiful, isn't it? And hey, as long as it stands, everything is perfectly great between us and God, right? Well, here's a reminder of something in a lesson I just brought to our adult instruction class last Sunday afternoon. A class of people who are becoming members of our church. I went to the wall, as I'll do right now, and say this. This building is not Trinity Lutheran Church. This building could be destroyed tomorrow by earthquake or fire or flood, and Trinity Lutheran Church would still be here. The church is not a building. It's a gathering of God's faithful people bowing at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. God's people gathered in faith, gathered in repentance, gathered in service to others in the name of Jesus. The season of Lent. Did you catch the subtle little difference flavor in the message of this week and the weeks past? The season of Lent drives us to our knees in faith and repentance, both as individuals and as a congregation. Will we take it easy? Be at ease? Be self-satisfied like the people in Jeremiah's time? Or will we be on our knees asking God, "Dear God, am I where I need to be in my commitment to you? How can I be a better spiritual leader in my household? What is the shape of my prayer life, my time in God's Word, my service in this congregation, my financial support for God's work in this place, my witness to others, my simple invitation to others to come with me here to listen to God's life-changing Word to them?" You see, repentance, and watch now, repentance means to turn around. Repentance means a change in my life. To go in the opposite direction I was once going in. Today, during this season of Lent, will you heed God's call to personal repentance? Will we as a congregation heed God's call to repentance, or will this house be like Shiloh? Will this church, will the households of this church be a heap of ruins like ancient Shiloh? "It can't be," said the people to Jeremiah around 600 B.C., But indeed, some 14 years later, in 586 B.C., both Jerusalem and the temple lay in ruins at the hands of the Babylonians. "It can't be," we say, some 2,500 years later, in the Lenten season of 2016. But God's Word still declares there are consequences to sin and rebellion in our homes and in our congregation. Are you ready for some good news? Have you been hoping there's some good news today? Remember the original meaning of the word Shiloh? It means to be at ease. Well, what is our only hope for peace? What is our only hope to be at ease? Our Shiloh, our ease, is never built on the flimsy foundation of our good lives, our religious activities, or our beautiful building. Our true ease rests securely on the strong shoulders of Him who gave his life on the cross to pay for our sins, and who rose from the grave to open up the gates of heaven to undeserving sinners like you and me. On that cross and through that empty grave, our Lord Jesus gives us true peace, true Shiloh. We can be at ease because there he has defeated for us the power of sin. He has destroyed for us the power of death. And he has defeated once and for all the power of the devil. The season of Lent calls us as individuals and as a congregation to reorder our lives and our church around this one central truth of the Holy Scripture. Jesus is Lord. I and you are not Lord. Remember Jeremiah's words about ears and feet and hearts? We now consider our Lord Jesus. Jesus' ears willingly heard the call of his Father in heaven to come to this sinful world for you and for me. Jesus' feet willingly stumbled beneath the weight of a heavy cross, and he allowed his feet to be nailed to that cross for you and me and our salvation. Jesus' heart was broken in love for you, broken unto death for you and for me, to win for us full forgiveness and salvation. And all that he did for us, his resurrection from the grave declared, the job is done. The victory is won. My friends, please listen today. And by the way, it wouldn't be a Sunday morning without the alarms coming right in our sermon. But maybe that will wake us up. Please listen to the last words I have to say to you as your pastor this morning. Because these words are not my words. They're God's words to you. My dearly beloved, in Jesus' name, your sins are forgiven. Believe it. In Jesus' name, you are given the gifts of faith and repentance by the Spirit of God who dwells in you. Believe it. In Jesus' name, you can truly be at ease. May we as individuals, as families, and as a congregation during this season of Lent, return to the Lord our God. And this house will not be like Shiloh. In the name of Jesus, amen.